All right. Welcome to another episode of Whole, Healed, and Healthy. It's Wednesday, 10:30. We on time today. I'm proud of myself. So we gonna give it a few. You know what I'm saying? I need to create more anticipation throughout the week. You know, more posts to draw some more engagement. So that, you know, I know people enjoy it. I know that there are people who watch regularly, but we want to spread this community. So anyway, man, I hope y'all had a blessed week. Our weekend at the Hicks household, my refrigerator died, right? It's weird. So the refrigerator stopped working and we were without a refrigerator from Saturday until Tuesday, the ghetto. I'm gonna tell you right now, that was rough. Thankfully, you know, thank God that we were able to purchase a new one. But man, it was an interesting weekend. You know what I'm saying? Going through the weekend with no refrigerator. I love iced coffee. I had no ice. I had a big bag of ice in the freezer. I'm down here banging the ice to break it up on the floor in the basement, trying to get my ice for my iced coffee. Hey, but thank God that we had the means to buy a new refrigerator. And not only that, the refrigerator that I wanted. Y'all know I'm a techie, so it ain't all teched out, but it's got a couple dope features. But that's how you know you old, when you were excited about new appliances. Like, I'm really excited about this refrigerator. I'm downstairs in the kitchen, like, hooking it up to my phone. It's got Wi-Fi. We didn't get the one with the big TV or whatever on it. I almost got that one, but that was a little too much. I'm like, man, I'm not spending that. I like tech, but if I want an iPad on my refrigerator, I'll just get a case and throw my iPad up there. But I'm not spending that. So I almost got that one. But the one we got is dope. So anyway, that's how our weekend was. Praise God, we made it through. We didn't get salmonella poisoning. We had to buy all new groceries. But hey, man, you know, life be lifing. And that's the beauty of life, man. You just never know what you're going to get when you're going to get it. But thank God we made it through that. So, man, you already know it's Wednesday. Another episode of Whole, Healed, and Healthy, where I call myself the unlicensed therapist because I am not licensed, nor am I trying to do therapy. But I like that nickname. I think it's cool for me. But I'm here with y'all. Y'all here with me. And we're here to kick it, talk about life from a spiritual standpoint and just how to make this thing practical so that our lives can be a reflection of the God that we serve and the God that we love, right? So I'm glad y'all here with me. I'm not going to take up all your time. I feel like I'm at church, you know what I mean? I'm not going to belabor the time with all that, with announcements, but just do me a couple favors. If you're on here, like it. If you're on YouTube, subscribe. And most of all, share with somebody who is going through a healing journey who you feel can benefit from the things that we share every week. So let's go ahead and hop right in, man. Again, I hope your week was blessed. I hope that you did something good for yourself. Hope that you did something good for your family. I hope that you're just continuing to navigate all the spaces of your healing journey, of your walk, of your life, and navigating it in a healthy way. That's the most important thing, is that healing is ongoing and health is every day, so that you're finding ways to be healthy, finding ways to stay safe, finding ways to cope in a healthy way, that we're not doing things to harm ourselves. We don't want to do anything that's going to harm us or harm others. People may not understand where you're at and why you do certain things, but as long as you're not harming yourself or hurting nobody else, hey man, find things that help you cope well. So that's the name of the game. Finding things that help you cope, and finding things that help you cope in a safe, productive, healthy way, in a way that helps me stay focused. So if you see me looking down at my computer, looking away from the camera, that's simply because I'm looking at some notes. So as you can see from the title today, I want to talk about something that is near and dear to me, you know, the desire to be recognized. You know what I mean? Like, not only the desire to be recognized, but the disappointment in being overlooked. That's real life. The disappointment of being overlooked. I want to talk about just the desire to be recognized and then the disappointment that we feel when we don't get that recognition or when we're overlooked. Because let's just be real. We all desire to be recognized. It is a human basic need that we all desire, that we have, to be recognized, that we want to be, you know, I think there are times in life when we should be recognized. I think there are times in life when we should seek validation. We should seek to be recognized. We should seek that someone recognizes us for the things that we do. If you got a job and you always doing your job and you not being recognized, I'm telling you right now that it's going to be a problem. So I think that there are times that we should seek to be recognized. So yeah, what I want to talk about is just the desire to be recognized and then dealing with the disappointment of not being recognized. You know what I mean? When we do something or when we're in a space where, yo, like, I deserve to be recognized. So again, I think there are times that we should seek to be recognized. I think there are times when we should seek to be validated. Let's just keep it real. We should seek validation. I think there are times when we should seek to be, to feel like we belong to something, that to feel like we belong to a cause, to feel like we belong to a community, to feel like we belong in our families, to feel like I belong in this relationship, to feel like I belong at this job. We should seek those things. For me, growing up, again, y'all know I'm a church boy, I'm a church baby. So a lot of my points of view are coming from some experiences and things that I've learned in my 42 years of church. You know what I'm saying? Not just a small sample size, but my 42 years. What's up, Jay? I'm glad you're on here, Jalen. Man, I'm glad you're on here. It's good to see you. You know what I'm saying? That you were able to kick it with us. So this is my space. This is what we do. So hopefully you come back, right? Again, if you like it, please like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. All right, man. We did the church announcements, all right? That's the segment that's going to be, the church announcements. I did church announcements. So I think that there are times when we seek validation, and we should seek validation. You know, for me, growing up in the church space, you know, when I had those type of thoughts, or like I felt like I should be recognized, or I felt that somebody else should be recognized, or we should celebrate people. We should celebrate people for the things that they did. We should celebrate people for just their accomplishments. It was met with I'm puffed up with pride, and you know God is the only one who can set people up, and God is the one who gives us all the recognition that we need, and you know, this pride in your heart, you know, humble yourself before the Lord and all those type of things, and you know, don't seek approval from man. You know, they don't need to be recognized. We don't got to give people approval, you know, that God gives the approval. And which is true, you know, I agree with those statements to an extent, but I don't agree with those statements when they were used to keep us from celebrating people's wins in life. Like, why do we do testimony service and people get up and share about how God has blessed them, and then we want to celebrate them, but then it's met with, now you're puffed up, you're prideful, you know, that's ego, go deal with your flesh. Like, no, that's not what that means. Like, we have a basic need and a basic desire to be celebrated, to feel like we belong, and we should. We should. So there are still times, I'm gonna tell you now, that I battle with that. That's a battle within myself. It's a battle to seek the desire, to seek recognition, to feel like I'm a part of something, to feel like I belong to something, to feel like I matter. Come on, man, let's be real. Like, to feel like I matter. It's a constant battle with that, and then dealing with being taught that you're prideful. You're filled with ego. You know, that's your pride. Your flesh is rising up. All that pride. So for me, it is a constant battle of just saying, hey, you know, your feelings of wanting to be validated are not, it's not pride. It's not ego. It's not egocentric. It's not prideful. It's just based on your basic human needs. So I want to belong. I think we all want to belong. I think a lot of us have navigated life for a long time not finding our tribe. We tell people, go find your tribe. Go find where you belong. Go find, like, why do you join a church? Like, I joined a church just because of the teaching and the preaching and, you know, the singing. I'm a musician, so I love good singing. I love great musicians. So if your band is hitting, oh yeah. And y'all anointed, oh yeah. But we also join churches and because we want to belong. If you watch documentaries about gangs, and I love documentaries, so I'm always watching a documentary about something. A lot of these young men and young women who join gangs, or who want to run away from home and find themselves in situations that are not becoming, or situations that don't suit them, but they find shelter and safety in places that are not safe because they want to belong. They were accepted. You know, it's a battle to be accepted. So people go through life wanting acceptance. And for me, a lot of that acceptance and a lot of wanting to be recognized, honestly, was met with, you're prideful. You know, yes, ego. I've lived my life battling those two. One on one ear is, hey, man, it's okay to be recognized. On the other side is, that's pride. You know, get that pride out your heart. Get that out your heart. Why is your heart puffed up with pride? God resists the proud. You know, pride goes before a fall and destruction. You know, all those scriptures that we quote. But it's like, yo, like, it's a basic need. So I got a couple things. Not that one. So the basic needs. Where is it at? Did I put it on here? Ah, here we go. Wi-Fi is the most basic need in life. We need Wi-Fi. That is our most basic need. No, that's not the... That's a joke. But let's look at this chart. Basic human needs. And I got another one I'm going to show. Physiological needs. Survival. Air. Shelter. Water. Let's go to the other one. That Wi-Fi one was a joke. All right. So this is the one I want. I like this one. So it breaks it down and you can see basic needs. And then we got psychological needs. And then we got self-fulfillment needs. So I'm going to slide that right there so you can see basic needs right there. My bad. Then we got psychological needs right there. And then we got self-fulfillment. So I'm putting it in front of me. So our basic needs are food, water, warmth, rest, air. That's a basic need to survive. We need that to survive. Safety. We want to feel security. We want to feel safe. So we have safety needs. This is the one that I want to spend some time talking about. Belongingness and love needs. Intimate relationships and friends. Another chart had like the need to belong, to feel community, to feel a part of something. Esteem needs. These two is what I want to talk about. Prestige. Feeling of accomplishment, right? Feeling accomplished, feeling like you've done something. And then self-actualization is achieving one's full potential, including creative activity. So that's when you find yourself at the utopia of your life and you're moving, you're creating things. You're like doing things that bring you self-fulfillment. Like these are the needs that keep you sane, I want to say. Like, yo, I need my water, I need my air. But if I also don't have an escape, something that I can help to keep my mind right, then, you know, I'm out of balance. I just want to show this chart because growing up, a lot of times in church, it was just always like your basic needs of wanting to belong or your needs of wanting to feel accomplished was always met with like, that's pride. You know what I mean? Like it was always, that's pride. God is the only one who needs to tell you you belong. God is the only one who can fulfill your need. Are y'all sure? Because you tell us to join, we tell people to join churches to find a sense of community, to find a sense of belonging. And then I get here and I'm looking for where I can fit in and I'm looking where I belong. And now you're telling me that, oh, look to God. But I joined this church because I felt like I had things in common with people. I think there needs to be more of a balance when we teach these things because it brings confusion. Now, I'm just speaking to me, you know what I mean? And hopefully that the dialogue will pick up. And if this is something that you guys have experienced, great. But not only in church, let's talk about in your jobs, in our jobs. Let's talk about in relationships. Like you ever go to work and you do all this work and nobody recognizes you? You put in 80 hours this week. Crazy. You met the deadline. There was a deadline that you had to meet at your job and you met it. And then they just looked at you like, what took so long? What you mean what took so long? Like I spent all this time away from my family. I spent all this extra time working on this and you're not recognizing what I did? Like, yeah, thank you for the paycheck. I appreciate the paycheck. Like, yeah, I need the paycheck. Like I put my time in. Every Friday I need my paycheck. But let's not get it twisted. Like if you do something above and beyond, you deserve to be recognized and you expect that. But there have been times in life where, first of all, we don't get it all the time. Like, let's just keep it 100. Like, we don't get it. And I'm not saying, we don't get the recognition that we deserve. We desire that. Man, come on, I'm telling you. I know for me, that's something that I desire. That's something that makes me feel good. Am I broken because I want to be recognized? No. I'm in any relationship that you have, when you do something for your spouse, your significant other, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, just even in friend relationships, if I buy somebody something, the basic thing that you can do would be just simply to say thank you. You ever held the door for somebody? You ever held the door for somebody and that person you held the door for just walks in and don't say nothing? They don't look at you. They don't acknowledge you. They don't say thank you. Like you feel like, bro, like I sat here and I did this for you. I held this door for you and you can at least say thank you. That is a basic need of wanting recognition. Come on, you ever let somebody in and you drive in and then somebody want to get in and you let them get in and they don't give you the courtesy wave or the thank you or the courtesy nod or and you like you start cussing to yourself like this and I let you in. Come on, those are basic needs. See, those are basic needs. So when you think about that, you want it to be recognized for what you did, right? I love to help people and I don't do things so that somebody is going to give me these accolades. You know what I mean? Because that's not any reason to do something. If you're doing something and looking for somebody to recognize you, and we're going to talk about that, your heart posture, your heart motive. So we don't do things because we're looking to be recognized. But we also understand that if I do something and I did something well, recognize me, right? It is a desire. Recognize me. You know, give me my flowers where I can smell them. I talked the other week about how my cousin gave my uncle his flowers where he can smell them. Like, give people their flowers while they can smell them. Because don't get up at my funeral and talk about all the great things that I did when you had an opportunity to tell me while I was living. Yes, at funerals and that there are when we do share life experiences, but I hate when I go to a funeral and I hear people talk about all these great things that this person did and I know the person personally and they never did nothing. You be ready to slam the door back in their face. Yes, you are absolutely right. I'm telling, that is a pet peeve of mine, that I hold the door for you and then you don't even say thank you. Man, I'm about to snatch you back out that door and I'm about to close it, make you open it yourself. It is a basic need. It's a basic desire to be recognized. That's just at its lowest function. We teach our children that when somebody does something nice for you, to say thank you. Why? Because they didn't have to do it. So it is a basic function of human life that we want to be recognized. We desire to be recognized, right? So I hate when I go to a funeral and I know the person and I know the people and I see people get up there and they talk about all these great things that the person did throughout their life and how influential they were and how they were so dependable and how they were so fantastic. I'm like, but did you tell that person this when they were alive? Did you tell that person? Did you text them, hey man, I appreciate you? Like, let's not get it twisted. No, you don't do things out of wanting to be recognized, but you do things because out of the goodness and the kindness of your heart. But in your doing it, there comes, hey, like, let me know. That makes me feel good. Like, it's good to feel good. It's good to be recognized. Like, it's good to say thank you. It's good to have somebody say, hey, yo, I appreciate you. I saw you. I see what you did. Like, you ain't prideful. Right, just lying up there, say anything. Just up there lying, didn't say nothing when that man. I'm telling you. And I'd be sitting in the audience like, man, if y'all Negroes don't sit down, because I know. I was there and you said nothing. So it's okay to want to be recognized. But I want to talk about dealing with the disappointment when we don't get recognized. Because Janae said it, you were ready to slam the door in somebody's face. That's just at a basic level. You know, just opening the door and it's comical. But I use that example because it's something that we've all experienced. Or you let somebody in and you're driving and you let somebody out and they just keep going about their business. Don't even look at you. That's my pet peeve right there, boy. Because I will run you off the road. Lord, deal with my road rage. Ah, day bye. God, help me, Lord. Help me, Holy Spirit. Because I will want to run you right off the road. But I want to share something about my life and how I'm still dealing with the disappointment. And it's an ongoing disappointment that comes and goes, and how I'm just still dealing with this. So, man, y'all know me. Y'all know I've been preaching literally my entire life. Like, I mean, I say my entire life, like, I've been preaching my entire life. I remember at like 7 or 8, just having dreams about preaching. I remember telling my mom that I wanted to be a pastor. Like, I knew God had called me to be a pastor. Like, I knew these things at a young age. So at the eight, I think I was like maybe 8 or 9, could have been 10, somewhere around there. But I told my dad, I want to get baptized. And he was like, well, you can get baptized, but you got to tell me what it means, right? So I'm just sharing some of this so you guys can understand where I'm coming from. Like, this ain't just no, like, oh, you just looking for something. You just looking for something. No, I want y'all to understand where I'm coming from when we talk about knowing that you do something well and never getting the recognition that you deserve, right? Because I think that we all do things great. There are things that God has called us to all to do and that we do them well. And we know that this is my calling. This is what's on my life. This is where I should be at. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. This is where I should be at. This is who I am. This is what I know God has called me to do. Or this is something in life that I excel in. And so I'm talking about in those spaces. Like, let's really like dig a little bit in those spaces where it's something that you do well. It's something that you have a desire to do, and not only to do it well, but you want to do it because you just love doing it. Like, you find joy in it, right? It's a passion of yours. This is a passion of mine. I love this. I love preaching. And the reason why I'm sharing that, because it goes back to say those things in certain church spaces, they look at you that you love the spotlight. Like the Bible says, he who desires the office of a bishop or the office of an elder, he desires, it's a noble thing. It is a good thing. But when you tell me, hey, I love preaching. Like I enjoy getting that microphone and sharing the word of God. I'm telling you, there are only a few things in life where I feel like I'm at the self-actualization in your best creative space or in your best space. There are only a few things in my life where I feel like I excel. One is being a father. Like I love being a father. That's purpose. Two is being a husband. I am loving and learning to love being a husband and to be a much better husband. Three is creating music. I love making music. So I'm saying it so that you can find those things that you love to do. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter how you feel. If you're able to do that, you love it. It brings you a sense of peace. It brings you a sense of resolve. And number four, I'm telling you, this is crazy. I love preaching. I love prophesying. I love doing the work of God. I love it. I love it. It's like, it's exhilarating. I'm telling you, it brings me so much fulfillment and so much joy when the words that God allows me to preach or speak or prophesy to somebody, that I see them walk in another level of freedom, or I'm able to help somebody unlock potential that they didn't know was locked, that I'm able to help somebody become free in an area where they were bound in for so long. I love seeing people walk in their callings, in their potential. So I'm sharing this because not because I love it, but it has brought me so much disappointment. And you say, why? Right. So I told my dad I wouldn't be baptized. Back to the story. I wouldn't be baptized. My dad said, tell me what baptism means. I was like 9 or 10. Might have been 7 or 8. I don't know. It was between the ages of 7 and 10. I said, Dad, I want to be baptized. He said, tell me what baptism means. So at 7, 8, 9, whatever it was, 10 years old, we'll say 10. At 10 years old, I'm literally telling him what baptism means to me, why I want to be baptized. Long story short, he let me, I got baptized. Sat that chair up there. We was going to our church at the time. Nate sat the candidate for baptism. Boom, set that chair right there in front of the church. And I'm up there. I'm getting baptized the next Sunday. I was a candidate for baptism. And I got back, and I knew why my dad was doing it, because he wanted to make sure that I understood the choice that I was making. That's what I love about my parents, is that they didn't just let me go do things. Like, they made me say, well, why? And they made me give them understanding. They made me tell them what it meant to me so that I wasn't just repeating what they taught me. So anytime I had a choice that I wanted to make when it came to something concerning God for my own life, and I asked my parents about it, they always said, well, what does that mean? My dad was always there to question, to guide. He never forced me, but he would always help me make the right decision, right? So he asked me, what does that mean to you? And I said, this is what it means to me. So I did it. I got baptized, and I knew what it meant at 10 years old. I'm up there getting baptized. So fast forward. Again, I've been preaching my entire life. Had dreams about it, told my mom. I felt that I was called to pastor, had dreams of myself pastoring churches, all that stuff. Like, I saw it. So what am I saying? I'm saying, this is something in my life that I know that I'm called to do. Man, our parents were the bomb.com. I'm telling you, they were the bomb, and I'm thankful for them. Yes, they were the bomb. So fast forward 42 years. In my entire 42 years of life, and I probably started really preaching at like 15 or 16. I accepted my call to the ministry at 21. Now listen, just because I knew I was called to preach don't mean that I was always living what God called me to do. Like, let's clear that up. Like, no, like, I knew I was called to preach, but hey, I had some rough spouts, all right? And I'll be the first to tell you, but I thank God that he kept me. But one thing that I understand, and I'm sharing all this because one thing that I want you to understand, is that who God called you to be, who God created you to be, will always bleed through no matter where you're at in life. It didn't matter what I was doing, no matter what state in life I was at. Man, I remember I went to a party one time, and that was like, man, what you doing here? Like, the party just, you killing the vibe. You're supposed to be at church. Like, that's how, like, those are the type of moments I would find myself in that my friends wouldn't want me to come because they knew that I had a call on my life. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times it was just God trying to protect me from certain things. And there were things that I got into, things that I didn't. But you know, right? That's what they say. So it's something, like I said, from a young age, I knew it. It's something that I've always wanted to do. I knew I was called to do it. I never lost the call, even though I may have strayed from the path, but I never forgot who I was. And like I said, who God created you to be, who God called you to be, what God created you to do, I'm telling you, it will always find a way to surface in your life, no matter how you're living. I'm telling you, I would find myself trying to get drunk. We in studio sessions. I'm trying to turn up. And somehow the conversation goes from turning up to, man, you know, we got to get our lives right. See, and then we in there, I'm in there preaching to people. You know what I'm saying? We're supposed to be turning up. And all of a sudden, now we in there. That's what I mean when who God called you to be will always surface. It's always going to be there. So I'm saying all that to say this. What has this got to do with disappointment and the desire to be recognized? So I knew I was called to preach. I knew God had called me to be a prophet. I knew those things. I'm 42. So let's say from 16 all the way up until 42. One thing that has yet to happen in my life that I so desire is that I have, yes, whatever God called you to do will always, it's always going to be there. It's always going to find a way to surface. So in all that, I said all that to say this. I desired to be ordained. I saw my dad go through it, saw one of my uncles do it. I've seen it in services. I know what that represents. I know what that represents for me. I know what that means for me. It's a desire of mine. So 42 years, right? I've been preaching, teaching my prophesying, casting out devils, laying on hands, knocking y'all out when y'all come to the altar, pushing y'all down, anointing mugs, casting out them devils, all of it. I've done it. I've done it all. And so when you talk like this, you know, people think you're talking, especially in church circles, like you're puffed up. You know, you're boasted with pride. Like, I'm not boasting with pride. I'm sharing my life experience because I do it well. I love doing it. It's like, you should know that if you're going to do something, at least know you do it well. I hate people who want to do something. They have no knowledge or no experience. They don't know what they're doing. So I do it well, and I know that I do it well, and I'm thankful that I do it well, and it's all glory to God. Ain't no nothing that I've done. It's what God has placed inside of me. I've desired to be ordained. It's something that is a desire because I know what it represents. I know the sacredness of it. Now, do you need to be ordained, and do I have to be ordained? No, I don't have to. Does ordination take away from anything that I feel God has called me to do? Absolutely not. Because I'm going to preach, I'm going to teach, I'm going to do this thing with or without the paper. Just the desire of knowing that I've put my life into this, right? Literally, I've given my life to this. I gave my life to certain church systems that I thought that if I follow this path, at some point, I'm going to get the reward that I deserve. For me, that reward was an ordination, right? I expressed my desire. Like, yo, I want to be. Why did I share all that about why my parents would ask me if I knew what certain things meant? Because I want you to understand that I know what it means to be ordained, and I understand the sacredness behind it. Now, again, I don't feel like that is going to hold me back for a minute, but it goes back to just the desire to want to be recognized. And you deserve to be recognized. So mine is ordination. Like, that's something that I desire, that I want to be publicly recognized. And in that church circle, I went through the steps. I did everything. I mean everything. And I did it because I loved God. Because I love God. It's not because I love man. But I did the things that were required. And I was left empty handed. The disappointment in that, and I'm not going into a lot of detail with it. I'm going to do that on another time. But the disappointment in giving your life to something, man, giving your life to a cause, giving your life to something that you feel God has called you to do, and to walk away empty handed. Come on, man, let's keep it 100, dog. It hurts. It sucks. It's trash. Come on. If you go to work and you put your blood, sweat, and tears, and you work, a work week is 40 hours, and you go to work and you work your 40, and then they say, hey, we need you to stay an extra 10 hours a day. So you stay an extra 2 or 3 hours a day, and you end up working 75 hours that week, and they pay you for 40. Would you be happy to go to work and work 75 hours in 1 week and get paid for 40? The disappointment you gonna get when you thought you about to get this big overtime check with all this extra overtime, whatever the case may be, and you show up and you ain't got nothing. They gave you 40 hours. You are going to be upset and disappointed. My disappointment and mine may be different from yours, but the point is this, we all experience it. And when you work hard at something, you deserve to be recognized. Again, I showed the chart that it is a basic human need to want to belong. We join churches, we get married, we find communities, we join Facebook groups, we're on social media. We do all these things because there is just a basic human need inside of us that we want to feel accepted. Man, come on. There are so many people who walk around even now. Some of us may even be on here. You may be watching on a replay, but there are a lot of us who have walked around for years just trying to find a friend group, right? Just trying to find somebody, something that we can connect to, somebody who's gonna recognize me. Dog, this is real. We're talking about being whole, healed, and healthy. So part of our whole, healed, and healthy journey means that we recognize some of the things that we tend to overlook and realize maybe this is an area in my life that I've been struggling for a long time, and I've been trying to find healing, and I'm not able to understand why I feel like this. And every time I talk about it, people tell me, oh man, you straight, we love you. You just go find, like, no, like, you have a basic desire to want to belong. You have a basic desire to want to be recognized. And not only that, you should be recognized. You should belong. You should find people that love you. You should find groups that affirm you. You should find things that push you to purpose. I'm telling you, when you find a space that affirms you, it pushes you closer to your purpose. It helps you walk in your destiny. It helps you walk in your calling. But we spent, for me, I'm talking about me, I spent so much time fighting two battles in my mind that one, you shouldn't seek approval from man. Okay, I shouldn't seek it, but then at the same time, you tell me to go find a church, or you tell me to go find what your hands to do and do it well. So we preach two different messages. There needs to be more balance to the things that we tell people. Man, I'm talking good. I know. If I was at church, man, I need somebody on the organ. I wish I had my keyboard upstairs because I went to play at a church a couple weeks ago. I wish I had an organist because I'm preaching good, as we say. But what am I saying? Take a look at your own life, right? And find the spaces and the things that you do well. The spaces where you've been overlooked. And for me, mine is because I love the word, man. I love God. I love his word. So yeah, I'm very passionate right now because it's something that I love. I spent my whole, almost my entire adolescence and adult life striving to be ordained. And it was presented at times. It was given at times. it was presented at times to me, do X, Y, and Z. It was, well, we got to do this. You know, there were just so many things that happened that didn't allow it to happen. And it just left me so disappointed. Like, seriously, like, really disappointed. Because when in church, in what I come from and what I believe in, like, ordination, like, that is a huge accomplishment, right? That is something huge, because that shows that, like, you put your time in, like, you put the work in, like, you studied this. I haven't been to seminary school. I didn't graduate from seminary. I didn't go to theology school, but I'm definitely getting my reading on, and I'm learning more about this word, because the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed, to rightly divide the word of truth. So I study this thing, man. Like, I put my life into it, and to walk away empty-handed was so devastating for me, because you work hard. I'm telling you, imagine you go to school for 4 years, right? You got these student loans. You done put your life on hold. You went to school for 4 years, and at the end, they tell you, oh, you're not getting a degree. You're not getting your degree because the school closed. You know, the school is closing, so you don't get a degree. Imagine that. Imagine, like, you put your blood, sweat, and tears into something, and you like, yo, they about to have a graduation ceremony. I'm about to have an open house. I'm about to have a graduation party. I'm about to do all these things to celebrate what I've accomplished. And then they tell you all the work that you did, all the time that you put into this, it was for nothing. You get nothing out of this. You're going to go crazy. Like, you're like, no, wait a minute. I don't care if the school is closed and somebody, but Denzel Washington said, I'm leaving here with something. I'm taking somebody's degree. I'm taking something. So think about that. That you put your blood, sweat, and tears into something. Because you put your life, you put your all into it. You've given it your everything. You're in a relationship and you've given it your all. You show up every single day. You do everything that you gotta do. Not because you're trying to get recognized, but because you love it. See, that's the difference. There's a difference in doing something to be recognized and doing something that you love and being recognized. See, there are certain things at my job that I do because I want my paycheck. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you know, hold you. There are certain aspects of my job that I do not desire, that I do not like, but I do them because I know the end result is going to get me a paycheck. There are certain things in life that you do that you don't like, but you know that the end result is going to give you something that you need. I need a paycheck. My job pays me very, very well. We have great benefits. I have a mortgage. I have bills to pay. I have to take care of my family. So I show up. I don't always want to show up, but I show up. And in the exchange for my time, I get paid a certain amount and I get a paycheck every Friday with direct deposit. I get that bad boy on Wednesdays. You know what I'm saying? So with that direct deposit on Wednesdays, that's probably why I like Wednesdays so much, because my bank account take a little turn, right? But so what am I saying? That there are things in life that you do that you know I'm doing this because I'm going to get something out of it. It's a mutual exchange. You know what I'm saying? There are relationships that are mutual exchanges. There are business type relationships. I'm in this relationship because I know that you have something that I need and I have something that you need, or you have something that I want and I have something that you want. So what can we do to get what we both want from one another? In that type of relationship, you get what you get out of it. So you shouldn't leave disappointed when you don't get what you put into it. Right? So if I know that in this relationship that there is something that you have that I need or that I want or I can use, and I have, let's talk about business relationships. I play the piano. All right, cool. You need a piano player. Oh, okay, great. You have $250 that you want to give me every Sunday to play your piano at your church. Great. We both know. I show up 10 o'clock on Sundays, I'm going to play the keyboard. At the end of that service, I expect my cash app to be $300, right? That's a mutual exchange. But I'm talking about in exchanges where you do it because you love it. You're not doing it to be recognized. You're not doing it because you want somebody to recognize you. You're doing it because you love it. It is okay to want recognition. It's not pride. It's not ego. It's not puffed upness. It's not that you're not humble. It's not that you're not broken. It's a simple, basic human need to feel recognition, to feel appreciated. Man, I love Avery. And she tells me she loves me it's just nonstop, like all the time. And I love it. Her face lights up if I show up with a cookie, right? And she just goes bananas because I gave her a cookie. And she tells me, "Dad, you're the best dad in the world. Oh, and I love you, you know." And I'm like, "Dang, that's an amazing feeling. It makes you want to go on. It makes you want to continue. It makes you want to keep striving forward." So don't let anybody tell you that your desire to be recognized or your desire to want recognition is wrong, because it's not. Do I need to pull my chart back up? Because what do we have? Esteem needs prestige, feeling of accomplishment, intimate relationship, and friends. It is a basic necessity. This is the hierarchy of needs, of things that humans need to survive. If you want to have a healthy life, these are things that you need. And part of those needs is to feel like you belong and to feel love. And how do you feel like you belong? People recognize us, right? People recognize us. So again, when you think about certain areas or aspects in your life where you haven't been recognized, it hurts. For me, not getting that ordination, man, it hurts. And let's just keep it 100. I see people get recognized for something that you gave your life to, and it hurts to see them get it, but you never got it. You see people get recognized for things that you've given your life to, for things that you gave them blood, sweat, tears, sacrifice to. They get recognized and you don't. And let's keep it 100. It hurts. I see, and shout out to all my friends that I've been seeing that have been elevating. Man, like I'm happy for you. Like there is no jealousy or hatred or anything in my bones towards anybody who was striving and doing what they do. But it does hurt me because that's something that I desire so much that, and it didn't happen. You know what I mean? So it's real. Like it's real life. It hurts. It hurts. If you are in a relationship or you're at work or in your family, like you have an idea and you've been doing this thing over and over and over, and you've been doing this idea and you've been in your world just busting it down. Is that the right term? I don't know if that's the right term for that, but you've been doing whatever. And then a person come on the scene and do it one time. And everybody like, oh, you crazy, though. How you think about that? Like, that's wild, man. I'm glad you did that. And you like, bro, like, dog, like, I've been doing this. I've been doing it. And you don't get recognized for it. It hurts. It's discouraging. It makes you not want to go on. Come on, man. Like, it puts you in a place where you don't want to do it because, like, what's the point? And so I know what the word says. I know that the Bible says, and this is a scripture that we use when Jesus taught his disciples, when you fast, don't fast to be seen, because what you do in secret, God's going to reward you openly. And so we leave that part out because hypocrites do things to be seen. That's why Jesus said that they were doing it because their heart and their motives weren't real. They were fasting because they wanted to be seen. They wanted people to say, oh, hey, look at that. Look at how deep he is. He fast. I mean, he fast and he praying. Busted. Hey, sometimes you got busted down. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, hey, you know, but they were fasting, right? And Jesus told his disciples, do not be like the hypocrites when you fast, walking around looking like you fast. And Jesus said, clean yourself up, go take a shower, go wash your face, go brush your teeth, and show up into society like you're not fasting, because what you're doing in secret, God is going to reward you openly. Yes, I agree with that. The key to that, though, is when Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites, right? So if you're doing something to be seen and people see you, that's your reward. That's what Jesus told them. Their reward is being seen. Why was their reward being seen? Because they wanted it, because they were hypocrites. Their motives were not pure, right? So if you have impure motives, man, and you get seen, that's your reward. But what about when your motives are pure? What about when your thoughts and your motives for doing something and your heart is in the right position? What about when you're doing it out of love? What about when your heart is in the right position? Your heart posture is right. Your mind is right. Your motives are pure. What you're doing it for a genuine reason. What about those times when you get overlooked? That's when it hurts the most. Because if I do something to be seen and you don't see me, all right, whatever, man. But when I do something because my motives and my heart is pure and I've done it and I've put my all and I've given my all and I don't get the recognition that I know that I deserve, that's when it really hurts. That's when this junk hurts. That's the part that people have trouble navigating, because we don't know, like, well, am I supposed to want to be recognized? Am I supposed to want to desire the fulfillment in that and want to be, you know, somebody say, hey, shout out, like, shout out to such and such, shout out to such and such. Like, and I talked about that at funerals. Like, we see it all the time. Like, we don't give people their flowers while they're here and we wait till they're gone. Like, don't wait till I'm gone and tell me you love me. Don't wait till I'm gone. Don't wait till something closes to say, oh, it's closed and I'm gonna ordain you. Like, don't wait till it's at the end. And so why should we be recognized? What, you go to school for 4 years to get your degree and you believe that that degree is going to help you come into the workforce with a leg up. It's going to open doors that not having a degree are going to open, right? If I don't have a degree and I go and I want to be an engineer and I have no experience being an engineer, how can I get a job being an engineer and I haven't went to school to get my degree being an engineer? But if I come with that degree, come on, that degree is supposed to open up some doors. So it's not that just you want to be recognized or just give me my accolades or give me my flowers where I can smell them. There are certain things that we do because we know that it produces a certain result. So going to school for 4 to 8, 6, whatever, how many years to get your associates, and some people go get their masters and PhDs and whatever. You do those things because when I walk in a room, it's no longer Mr. William Hicks. It's Dr. William Hicks, right? Like, that doctor holds a little bit of weight. Now, I ain't talking about them fake ones that people get that when they got an honorary doctorate because they gave the school a whole bunch of money. I'm talking about when you put your, like, and think about it. You see people online, true people who have their doctorate. Why are they so upset when people get an honorary doctorate? Because it's not real. It's fake. It don't mean nothing. It's honorary. It's the fact that you did
But for the people who put the work in, sometimes it's a slap in the face to them because I put my work into it. I put my life in this. Like, that doctor holds weight. So, yes, we don't just want to be recognized and saying thank you. But, hey, like, I knew that for me, for my desire to be ordained, I knew what it meant, and I knew the weight that it held. I knew that if for whatever reason, I left my church, if something were to happen at the time, you know, before we knew things were going to happen, that, hey, I've been ordained, I've been recognized publicly, like, I've been endorsed. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need it because it helps you. Yes, God opens doors that no man can open, and God closes doors that no man can shut. I know the word. I believe the word. But ain't nothing like having that stamp, that endorsement that we left our church, you know. They don't wait to the bitter end and say, you know, man, it's a lot of things that y'all don't know about me. I was literally, so we were going to be pastoring, right? We were about to be pastors at a church. And, you know, we left, church closed, we left. But at the end, it's like, oh, we're going to ordain you as a pastor. And I'm like, why wait? Why did I have to wait till the end to get something that I deserved 10 years ago? Like, see, that's when you know it ain't, why did I have to wait to the end? So now you don't get it. So in my space, in the things that I desired to do in life, that having that, hey, like, this is where I served at, this is what I did, you know, I don't have a paper trail to show what I did in ministry. You know, there's nobody I can put on my resume to say, call this person or call that person, because where I came from no longer exists. So it's like you go to school and your school's shut down. But I remember when Toys R Us closed, and it was a running joke that people were saying, oh, if you need a job, just put you as a manager at Toys R Us, because they can't track it down, because who they gonna call? Toys R Us went bankrupt. It's the same type of concept. What I'm talking about, the being recognized and then the disappointment in it. In the why. Why is the disappointment? Because where I came from and what I did, it doesn't exist anymore. There's nobody that I can call to say, hey, can y'all vouch? Can you vouch for me? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's real life. If you get your degree and then you get to the bitter end and they say, ah, that's it, your school no longer exists, you're going to be hurt. You worked all that time for what? For nothing. For nothing. So, like, I hope y'all following me, but it's real disappointment in not being recognized. It's real disappointment in not finding the spaces that you belong in. There's real disappointment and it's real hurt. It hurts when you don't find the community that you thought you were finding. It hurts when you have a passion for something and you don't find people who you can connect with. Like, I can talk about music with certain people. I can talk about sports with certain people. I can talk about computers with certain people. And then I can't talk about those same things with those same people. So it goes to finding community, especially when you know it's something that you love doing. Especially when it's something that you have a heart for. Like, and, you know, for me, it's ministry. But for you, it could be helping the poor. For you, you could love what you do at your job. You could, you're welcome. You're welcome. Bree, you ain't miss nothing. You know what I'm saying? Just catch the replay. We here. But Janae, I'm telling you, like, it's real. And this is something that I've been living. I promise, like, you know, and people think you get on here. And this is something else, man. I'm telling y'all, like, I got a lot of topics, a lot of things to talk about. So I'm trying to stay on task. But people think you get on and you start telling your story or telling things that you've been through. And they think you're trying to dog out somebody or you're trying to bash people. I'm not bashing anybody or I'm not trying to dog anybody out. I just want to share my story because it's real. You live through it. Like, it's your lived experience. But I'm telling you, like, you give your life to something. You give your all to something. And you don't get what you know that you deserve out of that. Listen, the reason why I am feeling more and more secure in doing this week in and week out, because I know what the Bible says, Jeremiah 1:4. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I called you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. I know that. Before we were born, we know God gave us purpose. I can preach it. God gave us a purpose. So we get that. And those scriptures in the Bible, it does help to bring a resolve to that. It helps to resolve my spirit. Because my spirit is what connects with God, right? Come on. The Bible says we overcome. I'm telling you, God ordained all of us. God called all of us before we were born. I get it. I know that. But that doesn't take away from the fact that as I live in this earth, I'm not disappointed in the fact that the thing that God called and ordained me to do in the spaces that I've been in, they didn't recognize me the way that I should have been recognized. See, that's the flip side of it, is that, yeah, God called us, he ordained us prophets to the nation, whatever you want to go to the nations, go save the world. All right, fine, do that. Yes, God did that. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts to prosper you, plans, like the scriptures go on and on. And I know those scriptures. I study those scriptures. I've hidden that word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's what the Bible says to do. Okay, meditate on this word day and night. I do that. I've done that. But the fact that in a space that recognizes you for when in a time when you say you are called to the ministry, and in that space, you're supposed to be recognized. And I'm gonna say a word that some people don't like, platformed, because you start saying platform, people thinking you're looking for it. Man, people thinking you're looking for a platform. No, we platform people because when people have something to say in a mess, like it's like the church be so confusing to me at times, because it's like, you want me to preach, right? You want your churches to be filled with people. But then the moment I say, hey, I got a word. Oh, you just looking for a platform. Yeah, I am looking for a platform to share what God has given me, because I believe that it can help set somebody free. See, those are words that are cuss words. Platform, ambition. These are cuss words in the church. Woo! I'm cussing. If I was in church, I'd be cussing because I got ambition, because I want a platform. I would be cussing because I shouldn't want ambition. I shouldn't want the platform. I should want to be humble. I got a whole nother stuff to talk about on that, about being humble. Like, we tell people to be humble so much that we break people and they have no self-esteem. They have no self-esteem because we break them so much by saying, you're prideful. You need to be humble. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of the Lord. And we break people's spirit and they walk around so broken, so afraid to share anything, because they feel like if they share it, they gonna get shot down. They gonna get rebuked. They gonna get this, they gonna get that. Because so many times the church can confuse us. I'm here to let you know that your ambition is okay. Your desire to be recognized is okay. It's all about your motive. It's your heart posture. Last week I said, your why. I said, search my heart, O God. Know me. Try me in my anxieties. That means try my motive. Is my motive pure? Is the reason why I want to do this because it glorifies God and I want to bring people to Christ and I want to bring glory to God? Or is it because I want to bring glory to myself? See, we cannot overlook the fact that we are human beings. Everything that God does on this earth, God does it through human beings. Man, I'm preaching. I know I'm preaching, and I'm about to stop preaching because I got a little time. Everything that God does on this earth, he does it through human beings. God created us all to be who we are. The Bible said, man, we know the word. I ain't about to preach it, but we know it. You have been created in the image. God said, let us make man and let us make him in our likeness, in our image. Everything about me is a reflection of God. Man, I'm telling y'all, everything about me is a reflection of God. Everything about me is a reflection of God because I'm made in God's image. Right? There are things in my life that I know that I need to work out. But there are things in me that my nature, my spirit is a reflection of God, right? I know I'm born in flesh, and y'all say, you know, I'm born into iniquity, da 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 da. And I started thinking like, dog, like, did God mess up when he made us if we gotta go through all this? I ain't about to get on that. I talked about that. Everything God wants to do on this earth, he's gonna use a human being from the beginning with Adam to the end with Jesus. You read the entire word of God, and in every story, it is a story of God partnering with man and God placing his spirit, the supernatural ability for man to do something that is beyond his comprehension because he needed God to go above and beyond. There's no way in the world that I could kill a bear and a lion with my bare hands. There's no way in the world that I can slay a giant with a slingshot and a stone. That's where the supernatural comes in. See, we gotta twist it. Like God, no, God needs us. See, God cannot supersede his will. The way that God created this, he said, I'm gonna partner. Covenant means partnership. Man, we talking, y'all need to read the Bible. But God made a covenant. When he made that covenant with Abraham, he made a partnership. Said, I'm going to use you, and through you, all the generations of this world is going to be blessed. But in order for God to get that blessing on the earth, he had to have a vessel to use to get it through, right? So I'm saying that to say that the vessel that God uses, which is you and whatever you're doing, you've been made in the image and likeness of God. And to desire to be recognized or the desire to feel accomplishment, man, that's a natural trait. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem comes is that when my desire to be recognized is the only reason why I do things, and I'm not doing them because I do it out of love. I do it with pure motives. Man, we gotta stop telling people. Man, we gotta stop. We have to stop telling people that you're filled with pride. You're filled with ego. You're not broken. You're not humble. You know what I'm saying? Because that kills people's spirits. Man, I'm excited, y'all. I get excited because freedom is exciting. Freedom is exciting. Whom the Son sets free is free. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. My freedom is exciting. Your freedom ought to be exciting. If you are not excited in your freedom, you're still bound. Hey, I'm telling you, freedom is exciting. There is therefore no condemnation. Freedom is exciting. I don't know nobody who like being a slave. I want to be free. I desire to be free. And so part of my freedom has been me understanding that my desire to be ordained is okay. I'm about to close like I'm in church. Somebody call me an organist so they can help me close. But your desires, man, your desires have to be vetted through the lens of God. So your desires ought to be vetted through the lens of God. God uses us. He needs us just as much as we need him. You shouldn't say, why shouldn't I say it? Because the scripture is filled with examples of men and women who God used to accomplish his will on earth, right? But man, I just want us to know and be free, because I feel like a lot of us have been bound by things that should be freeing. And one thing that frees us is having somebody say, hey man, you did a good job. Hey, I enjoyed that. I remember preaching, right? And getting done preaching. I know your heart. I know what you mean. But this just goes back to the mindset of what I've been taught and what I was taught. So hear me out. You know, it's like you cook a good meal and you know you put your foot in that meal and you sit back and you watch everybody eat. And it's like, oh, who made the macaroni and cheese? And you're like, yeah, nigga, I made the macaroni and cheese. See, that is a compliment above all compliments when somebody say, hey, dog, who made this? To my cooks out there, y'all know what I'm talking about. Because you feel like, dang, they like what I did. They love my cooking. So again, I try to break things down to a scale where we can all understand it, because it all affects us. The simple things will confound the wise. The simple thing, when we get it at a simple level, we realize that at the base level, all this stuff works together. So I remember preaching and somebody came up to me and was like, hey man, like I really enjoy your word. Like what you preached about really helped me, da 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 da. It set me free. And instead of saying, man, thank you, man, I appreciate that, I had this fake, humble approach. Oh man, glory to God. Glory to God. I take no, it ain't me. That's all God. Which is, yeah, it's true. It is all God. But the fact that I can't receive a compliment goes into something deeper that I struggled with, low self-esteem, right? See, when you start to break all this stuff down and you start to unfold the layers of your life, you start to realize that, well, yeah, I suffer with low self-esteem because they told me X, Y, and Z, and I did. So it all begins to make sense in your life. So when you start to see things that, oh, why was it so hard for me to receive that compliment? Somebody said, I appreciate the word that you spoke. Like, man, that should have been like, man, thank you. I appreciate, because first of all, listen, man, I didn't study for 2-3 weeks. I didn't prayed. I didn't fasted. I didn't sought the face of God. I didn't went through spiritual warfare. I didn't been through hell to deliver this word. And then, yeah, thank you. I'm glad that you enjoyed that, because you don't know what I went through to even get up here in this pulpit. See, but then if you say, oh, thank you. Oh, yeah, you proud. You puffed up. Yeah, you proud. I'm going to have to break you. You ain't humble enough. Like, come on, man. Come on, man. And it's like that in church, but it's like that in our families. It's like that on our jobs. It's like that in some of our relationships. I'm coming from a church level. I'm coming from what I experienced in church. But think about some of your relationships. Think about some of the spaces you've been in. And I'm going to be honest with you. I've oftentimes been the person telling somebody, oh, yeah, they ain't broken. They ain't broken. Nope. But why did I do that? Because it was done to me, and I thought that was the way. So I'm not too proud to say I've been on both sides of that coin. And then when I realize that I'm on the wrong side of the coin, I'm like, let me jump ship. Let me get this thing right. But listen, man, I hope that y'all caught something today, because I love this. I just wanted to be a little vulnerable and just share, like, man, that's a space that I'm still working through. But one thing that I do know is that God will always put you where you need to be. And sometimes that's just around people who see you for who you are. At work, break the cycle. I'm like, I'm not going to be a part of that cycle. I'm not going to be a part of that no more. It's crazy. Like, people will be afraid to pray because we... Church is wild, man. Church is wild. I love God. I love the church. All right. Don't get it twisted. I love God and I love the church. I love my experience growing up in church. See, church was a place where you got to figure out, like, okay, this work, that don't work. And church was a place when you probably saw some of the craziest and most funny stuff in the world. But what I was saying was that God will always place you where you need to be. And sometimes that's just in a community of people affirming you. There's been times when Avery has just come and given me a hug, and I just wanted to break because I was just going through it. And that hug meant everything. It's been times when Randy has just shot me a text message like, hey, I just want you to know that, like, I appreciate you. Like, ain't even saying nothing. And I'm not even looking for her to say that. Hey, Big C knew. Big C, man, listen. Oh, dog, you about to give me, because I was thinking about your dad yesterday, about some of these family reunions and some of the craziest stuff that he would say. And I'm like, hey, dog, but he is absolutely right. Church would be all right if it wasn't for the people. Like, if it wasn't for the people, man. But yeah, like, there have been times when Randy just shot me a message. Like, out the blue, all it said was, I appreciate you. I just want you to know that I appreciate you. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for what you've done. And that's all, like, God knows what we need more than what we know. And as much as I desire, and I still pray that one day, like, you know, that I'm going to be ordained, because that's something that I have a desire to do. That's something that I want for myself. And I pray that my time will come. But in the meantime, it's not going to stop me from doing the work of God, right? It's not going to stop me from doing what I got to do. Like, I was at service. I'm telling you, it's just the small things, y'all. We got to pay attention to the small things that matter. I was at church, and the pastor out the blue sky was like, come up here, I want you to pray, and then I want you to release a prophetic word. As he was calling me up there, though, he was like, you know, I want y'all to know that this man is, again, I want y'all to understand, I was never looking for this. Randy just helps me. She said, you don't have to preface, if I'm saying the word right, you don't have to always give an explanation about why you feel how you feel. You don't always have to give an explanation about the things that you say. Like, it's how you feel. You feel that way for a reason and live with it. And I thank God for that. But he called me up. He was like, this is a man, a true man of God. He's a true prophet of God. Y'all don't know how much I needed to hear that. Sometimes you don't know how much you need something until it happens for you. Just that small saying was, this man is a true prophet of God, and I know that to be true because I've seen it in his life. Just that small saying right there, man, just boosted my confidence because I was feeling so low. Is that what God has called me to be? Is that who I'm called to be? Even though I know it, even though I feel it, sometimes you gotta hear it. So I'm saying all that God will pay attention to the little things. Pay attention to the little things. Man, your feelings are valid. I don't have to give you an explanation of why I'm saying something or why I feel this way. I don't have to do that. Man, but pay attention to the little things. Pay attention to the small things. See, I'm done, but there's a story in the Bible where Elisha, he was running for his life, you know, and Jezebel was out to kill him. And he was like, God, I just want to die. Like, you know, just take my life. I just want to die. And so 24 hours had passed. Boom. There was an earthquake. God was not in the earthquake. There was big fire and all great giant things, all this noise. God was not in that. But there was just this small, still voice that God was in. And sometimes God speaks in those small moments where it's just the smallest thing will help to give you the validation that you need. Don't negate those small things, man. God is always going to send people in your life that you need. God is always going to put you in a place where you need to be. God is always going to give you everything that you need. And in the times where you feel like you don't have it, I just want to encourage you to stay the course. I do believe that there are times when it's just you and God. And there was a time in my, and I'm gonna talk about this a little later, I've just been so quiet with just about certain things that I don't speak on as far as the state of the world and just what God is doing, what I feel God is doing through my prophetic lens. Because I told God, I said, man, God, when I open my mouth, God, I want my words to matter. I want my words to count. I don't want to waste my words. And I want what I say to make a difference. And I said, God, if I got to stay quiet for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, I'm okay with that. Because when I open my mouth, I know that the things that I say are relevant. I ain't just going to be on here prophesying just for clicks. I'm going to here preaching for clicks. I want the things that I say. I want my words to matter. The Bible says, don't cast your pearls into swine. Like, I don't want to waste my words anymore. So I'm saying that to say, like, in those quiet moments, take an opportunity just to let God minister to you. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. And if it's crying, if it's praying, if it's whatever it is, don't ignore it. You know what I'm saying? Don't ignore it. I love y'all, man. I pray that y'all receive something on today, man, seriously, because we want to be free. Which, and I'm going to look at some of the comments. What she say? This type of preaching sets people free. I'm telling you. I would rather you be free than anything in this world. People say a lot of stuff. You know when people get on, start talking slick, start saying things, and I've been seeing some stuff, and I'm just like, you know what? People gonna be free though. Like, you're not gonna be bound on my watch. Let's break the cycle. What you say? Stay the course. Yep, stay the course. Man, I love y'all. Like, seriously, I mean that. Again, if there's anything that you are going through that you know, want to feel, we want to talk about, hit me. Let me know. We can talk about it. We can definitely talk about it. Bring it to a space, you know, bring it to our community, because I feel like this is a safe space. And I love y'all, man. Like, one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to keep doing this. And yo, like, if nobody recognize you today, I recognize you. Like, you're doing an amazing job. I mean that. You're doing an amazing job. Don't stop. Don't stop. So we'll be back next week. At 10:30 on the dot. Bree, listen, 10:30. I'm going to tell Randy to text you. So, you know, next Wednesday at 10:30, I'll mess with her. That's like my little sister. But 10:30, we're going to be here. So, man, I love y'all. Do something for yourself again this week. What I did for myself for last week was I bought a refrigerator. No, but man, do something good for yourself. Love on yourself. Love on your people. Love on yourself, love on your people, give people their flowers where they can smell them. Matter of fact, that's what I want us to do today. Find somebody and just pour into them a little bit. Just pour into them a little bit. I promise you this, if you pour into somebody, then God's going to send somebody to pour back into you. Even if you're feeling empty, even if you're feeling like you ain't got nothing to pour, just find somebody that you appreciate and just say, hey, I just want you to know I appreciate you. I love you. I thank God for you and keep doing what you're doing. Find somebody, man, and see how good that makes you feel. But y'all, I love y'all. Hey, and if anybody out there is a pastor, holler at me. You can ordain me. I'm just joking. But man, I love y'all. I really love y'all. Humor is a part of who I am, so I'm always going to laugh. I love y'all. Do something good for yourself this week. Do something for somebody else today. And most importantly, continue to work being whole, being healed, and being healthy. I love y'all. Peace.